We're going to move forward with our program. It is my pleasure to introduce Professor Raghavan, who's going to chair the first session. And I don't want to extend too much. We are with a little delay, but Professor Raghavan is in bioresource engineering at McGill University. Professor Raghavan, as usual, a participant, very a strong supporter of this conference. Thank you very much for being with us again. Thank you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to session one. It's current and future challenges for sustainable food security in developing countries. We have heard last evening the numbers game as far as the population is concerned. 7.3, 7.4 billion. The forecast is 9.7. That's what we heard. I just want to connect these numbers to my own experience before I invite my panelists. I left India in 1968, December 31st. At that time, the Indian population was 550 million. Today, we are counting 1.2 billion plus. So you can do the math as far as doubling the population, what had happened. So in terms of the percentage increase, 25 years ago, I used to tell my students, 1.67% or 1.7%. Today, that number has gone down to 1.2%. But still, that 1.2%, the base is big, so therefore, we are increasing the population towards 9.7 billion. So therefore, we do have a lot of mouths to feed. So therefore, when we are looking at the food security, we always have to be connecting with the environmental security as well as the energy security. All these things are interconnected. So I'm very pleased to partake in this particular conference because we do have multidisciplinary participants here to share information. So thank you very much for inviting me to be here. And then now I do have three very experienced panelists. So without any further ado, I will take the moment to invite Monsieur Santiago Alba Corral to join me here. He is Director of Policy Innovation and Partnership, Care Canada. So yesterday, I was in the workshop, and I'm very pleased to see the connectivity between Care Canada and McGill. So I'm really looking forward to long-term collaboration. Here, Santiago is the Senior Director for International Development at Care Canada and chairs the Care International Food and Security Steering Committee. Until very recently, he was the Director of Policy, Innovation, and Partnership of Care Canada. So policy decisions are very important, and I'm very pleased to see that his interest lies in there because he is a technology person, but then he is moving into the policy-related aspects as well to bring it to the platform. So he did work 10 years in the rural development and environmental issues based in Europe. Then he relocated to Southern Africa, where he worked as a technical advisor with the International Aid Agency of Spain, mainly in land reform processes. And then before moving to CARE in 2010, he was the technical and research director of Action Centre du Farm Canada. He has worked extensively internationally and mostly in Africa and the Middle East. And then Santiago was a member of the UNICEF and lead and the Global Nutritional Center cluster. He was also in the inception committee of the Global Food Security Cluster, which is led by WFP and FAO. So he has collaborated and on effort technical working groups on the IPC, which is Integrated Food Security phase classification, which is very essential. So his passion, which I witnessed yesterday, for sustainable and equitable food systems has resulted in a career focused in working with the most poor and vulnerable women and men in the global south. Santiago shares CARE's vision of a world of hope, tolerance, and social justice, where poverty has been overcome. So he comes to us with several years of international experience. Without any further ado, Santiago, the floor is yours.
That's the short version of my CV. I have a long one, actually, that we can share. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for being here. It's nice to be back in McGill. McGill was the reason that we moved to Canada. My wife is a professor at McGill, so that's the excuse of coming back to Montreal always. So it's always good. When we started discussing about being part of a panel, we thought about focusing the presentation around some of the specific projects that we run across some of the 90 of countries that we, as CARE International, operate. But after some discussions with Hugo and with some of the colleagues in the office, we decided to forget about the specific project that we can find in our website or that we are going to see in other moments and focus in the strategy. So in the last couple of years, CARE, the international level, and CARE Canada in particular as well, has been going through a process of rethinking how we want to see the future. What is our future for the next 5 years, and where we want to be in 5 years from now? This reflection comes from not only the end of the Millennium Development Goals and the new Sustainable Development Goals, but also to a deep reflection on we cannot keep doing things as we used to. We are not going to really make poverty history. We are not going to make hunger a problem of the past if we don't really change how we work. And that has been a main change in how we work. We decided to give us an objective, I don't know if you can read, of we want to reach 50 million people. We want to put out of food and nutrition insecurity 50 million women and men and their families in the next 5 years. It's a small piece in the around 800 million, 900 million, depending on the year, depending on the report. But it's an ambitious goal for an organization as CARE. We know that we cannot do this without integrating four key elements on injustice or poverty. We want to focus in women's and girls' rights to their sexual and reproductive health. That's critical. We need a planet free from violence. We cannot achieve any objective if we are not sure that gender-based violence is eradicated at every level, because we are going to see that that has implications in every decision that we take. We want to be sure that in our numbers, 30 million women have access and control over economic resources. That's going to be critical. The decision-making has to happen. We have already questions about how technology affects to the household-level decision-making process. That is going to be a critical element. We know that climate change and political instability are risks that we as a humanitarian organization need to keep confronting, and we want to continue that work that started 70 years ago when we start sending care packages to the European destroyed families. So we have a target of 20 million, and then the 50 million around food and nutrition security. Today we want to focus in the 50 million. Where we are now, okay, we are in 5 million. So we have CARE, as this is data from last year's annual report, we have been working in food and nutrition security in around 60 countries, over 300 programs, and we have reached directly 5 million people. So how we move from 5 million people to 50 million people? That's not going to be easy, and that's where we understand that we cannot do it by our own. And we have tried to say that we need to move to understand what is the problem behind food and nutrition security. So before that, this is specific for Care Canada. I thought that since we are here, we have to deal a little bit, what is Care Canada doing around food and nutrition security within the Federation of Care International. We are decided, this is data from last year, we have focusing in Africa, in East, Southern Africa. We are focusing in Middle East, mostly that's budget, and mostly is affected by the crisis in the Middle East, the Syrian crisis, and that's why the numbers are a little bit bigger there. And a little bit of Central America. And in terms of our program, over $50 million are on health, but 77% of our programs in health are nutrition-based. There are more than 40 million are specific traditional food security projects, and then the other one, over $30 million on women's economic empowerment, economic development that is going to be linked to food security. It's going to be access to microcredits, it's going to be access to markets, it's going to be entrepreneurship, it's going to be changing policies land tenure or bank accounts, access, etc. So all of them really focusing in food security. That's a picture of where we are. But let's focus in why we are facing food and nutrition security. We are facing food and nutrition security basically because of poverty and social injustice. And unless that we understand that poverty is injustice and that we need to address those elements, we will not do anything. We can have the best technology in the world, we can have the best engineers in the planet, the best seeds, and if we don't target the injustice on poverty, we are not going to really make poverty or make hunger history. There are three elements that make poverty possible. One is injustice, any kind of injustice, just injustice between countries, injustice in society, injustice between power holders and small holders. And with the most important of these injustices, the one that we think that is critical is gender inequality. That we have a 50% of the population are unequal to the other 50%. And that is going to not really change anything if we do not get that one. The other one is the lack of governance. We cannot live in a planet that goes to any positive result if there is no transparency, there is no accountability, if there is not a rule of law. So governance is going to be critical. And the third one is that we are living in a planet that more and more risk is part of the daily life. We have climate change, changing the way that we think and the way we understand the planet. We have economical changes that affect everybody, things that the decisions taken over food storage in Russia destroy markets in Egypt in 2007, and we have food crisis in Mozambique. So the level of risk that we are facing today is more global than ever. So we need to target these three elements: gender equality, promote governance, and increase resilience. So we decide, how does that affect food security? So we have this objective of 50 million. We know that we need to work together with governance, gender equality, and resilience. And then we as CARE decide to focus in four major pillars: agriculture systems, sustainable economies, nutrition, and humanitarian action. Because many of the places that we work, there's not anymore a humanitarian intervention or a long-term development intervention. Communities are living this reality of facing a natural disaster at the same time that they are looking at long-term issues on development. So this is what we call our theory of change, and that's what we believe that we can do, reach the 50 million. We think that this cannot be done without what we call super food systems. Super because they must be sustainable, because they must be productive, because they must be equitable, and because they must be resilient. Because nothing that we can do today should undermine the possibilities of future generations. And that is critical. Any decision that we take today has to be thinking about future as well, or we'll be trying to solve the same problem 20 years from now. I hope it's not for me. The other element, I think, is that we need to look, we mentioned climate, the access to climate, the issues of climate change on smallholders farmers. Smallholders are more in risk than any other farmer related to climate change. So we cannot neglect this opportunity, and they still are feeding half of the planet. So any action that we do has to look at the responsibilities, roles, and opportunities of smallholders. And then again, they are both. They are women and they are men. And we have forgotten this. Extension services are not always looking at women. Women don't have access to right to land, so they cannot take investment in their own farming. Those elements are going to be critical to be possible, to make possible a more ambitious strategy. And then, again, half of the population are not anymore living in rural areas. They are living in urban areas. We don't even know how to do these interventions. We are, as agencies, challenging on how to target food insecurity in urban areas. Our systems are developed mostly for rural areas. When we look about how we do surveys, they are, in most cases, developed for targeting rural communities. So we need to really start thinking of in a different way. There's two reasons that we should focus in gender and women. One of them is very pragmatic. This is results and data from FAO. If we fill the gender gap, we will put out of hunger 150 million people, only by looking at the division of rights, access, training between women and men. This is not about creating any other thing on the table. This is giving women the same things that men have access to today. 150 million people without having to do anything different, just only giving half of the population their rights. That's a very pragmatic point of view. I think there's another one that's more important, the pragmatic of really women can do the job, is that gender discrimination is a denial of a basic human right. So, and therefore, the major cause of poverty. So there's two reasons why we are working on gender equality. One, because it's a clever thing to do. It works. Working with women and men, making them equal, really makes bigger results. But also because it's a right. It's the right thing to do. I'm done. So what we really want is to build food systems that respond to inequality and changing and climate change and the growing population. We need to do this together, and we need to do this in a different way. And I think I'm going to stop here because I have a couple of people looking at me saying that it's done. So I'm happy to have more discussions. Go to the website. There's information about this. The strategy is there, and you can look at it. Thank you. Yeah.